I'm George Davis. I work for Monta Vista Software, and I work primarily on ARM Linux kernel ports. And lately, I've had the privilege of working on a Xen ARM port for about the past 6 months. I appreciate my employers obliging me working on that, and that's what I'm here to present. So, why Xen? First off, we did some investigation. We want to work with an open source hypervisor, and we did some investigation as to what's out there, and came down to choosing Xen because the source code was openly available, development was done out in the open, and it's GPL based. For a hypervisor, we wanted something that was small and verifiable from point of view of trusted code base, so that we could verify that the hypervisor itself can be made secure. Let's see. The other requirement is the hardware that we're using, ARM-based hardware, doesn't have any VT hardware support. So we needed something that included paravirtualization already included without having to put that effort in ourselves. The other feature that we discovered in looking into Xen was the work done by the NSA implementing Xen security modules. It's basically identical in function to SE Linux, where you can have loadable policy modules, and you can select which type of policy you want to implement. Last but not least, the architecture is similar to existing commercial mobile embedded hypervisors. And our goals, basically what we want to do is provide secure isolation between two or more Xen guest domains on mobile devices utilizing ARM-based processors. In order to provide this secure isolation, we intend to leverage Xen security modules. Something that was pretty easy to do was implementing Xen ARM ports so that we can quickly port it to new processors and new boards. That was fairly easy to do, given the ease with which Linux can be ported to different ARM boards. So basically leveraging the ARM Linux kernel support, where it includes support for multiple processors and multiple boards, helps us to quickly port that to other processors and boards. Last but not least, in order to get Xen up and running on different ARM targets, the other thing that we wanted to do was to make use of the existing ARM Linux kernel boot support, where parameters are well defined. What you're passing into the kernel is well defined, and the structure of those parameters are utilized in Xen to set up the machine. So some background details on what we've looked into. There are some attempts at porting Xen that have been done in the past, some with success and most thus far with no success. First it was Daniel Firstay, the University of British Columbia. He ported Xen to ARM using Xen 1.2. That was kind of not very far along. There's some work getting Mini OS up, but from my look at that code, it was in pretty rough shape. Michael LeMay was another fellow that attempted to port Xen to ARM, and there was no disclosure of source code for his efforts. Samsung has to date demonstrated pretty much complete Xen ARM port. Unfortunately, to date, they have not released their source code to the open. So we felt compelled to try to do it ourselves. Recently, at about the same time we started porting Xen, some folks in Switzerland, I believe it is, also announced on the Xen ARM mailing list that they were working on it. So we've been kind of working independently in parallel, and they don't seem to have gotten very far along at this point as well. So. Xen ARM community mailing list for anyone interested. Let's see, what we've done thus far is used Xen Unstable from change set 15.5.21. It's fairly old, that's basically where we started, and we haven't resynced since then. It's not too difficult to resync, but no sense changing when we're in the middle of developing. Let's see, we leveraged Linux 2.6.22 ARM ARC files as the basis of our porting efforts on ARM, and we used MiniOS helper functions in order to implement GCC lib helper functions in MiniOS. And the rationale for this is MiniOS is basically, if you look at the source code for MiniOS, it's a two-clause license which basically says use it any way you want. And we didn't want to contaminate that license with GPL code borrowed from Linux. So in order to keep that two-clause license, we used NetBSD GCC lib helper functions. The tool chain. We use our own tools as well as cross-compile tools that we just build on our own targets. I have scripts that will be available on our FTP site for anyone that is interested in building this up themselves and doesn't want to be bothered with building the tools themselves. The scripts basically just build all the tools that are used in this demo here. The target, we had intended to demonstrate this on live hardware, but in the end settled on QEMU. It's a pretty good demo, pretty good development target, in fact. I highly advocate anyone that wants to do any low-level programming to use QEMU for development. It's I can't praise it enough. It's cheap, free. You don't need expensive tools for hardware-based debugging and development, and it works fine. Development hosts, yada yada. Current status. Well, we had some pie-in-the-sky idea that we'd be done by now, but things didn't work out quite as planned. We had hoped to have Linux guest domain up and running by now and demo this on ARM 11-based mobile device, but, well, here we are, yet another ARM port. It's taking more time than anticipated. There's no real technical problems that we can't solve, just a lot of hair pulling. Some of the problems that we ran into were basically using PowerPC code. It looked like a good starting base at first. We used PowerPC as the initial basis for our Xen ARM port, but then discovered, and I hadn't realized this when we started, but PowerPC uses inverted page tables, so all of the MM code used for PowerPC was completely useless for ARM, so there's a restart there. As you see, I still have some hair left. So we do have MiniOS running and demo on QEMU. So what do we have thus far? Low-level serial console, MMU setup for Xen start of day, exception handlers work, interrupts work, timers work, Xen scheduler, idle domain. Basically, the core Xen ARM port is done. And the mini OS port is done and boots. We do have to redo the MM code and also have to complete exception handling for guests. So architectural overview. So the IRQ framework. Hardware IRQs are handled by the hypervisor only. The hypervisor implements soft IRQs, and as you see, basically examples of soft IRQs: timer, trace, key press, schedule, RCU, and page scrub. Virtual IRQs can be propagated to domains using events. When guest domains request IRQs, they basically given a virtual IRQ, which is executed via an event callback. For the ARM side, the framework is generic. It can be used on different ARM processors and different ARM boards. However, every low-level driver has to be adapted to the hypervisor. And thus far, we only have timers supported. Zen time framework. As mentioned before, hypervisor manages timer hardware, and it keeps track of domain time, per domain time. Domains receive virtual IRQ events for any timer events that they have. Each domain requires an accurate timestamp, and each domain can synchronize time using set time hypercalls. Shared info structures contain time reference structure, which is used by domains in calculating basically wall time. Let's see, hardware need basically a timer tick and an offset time source. And the implementation on ARM, versatile. We use two timers, one for 100 hertz timer tick and another one for basically offset time calculation. Unfortunately, one of the things that we've been asking ARM for quite some time is a well-defined timestamp counter or well-defined timers, and they still haven't done it. We complained to them at the last ARM tab, please, please, can you give us a well-defined architected timer as we don't have to have this problem every time. So the next steps, as mentioned, ARM has no timestamp counter, so in order to calculate offset time within domains, we need to map a shared page to allow domains to at least read the offset timer so that they can calculate offset time. And that's not done thus far. Also have yet to implement virtual IRQs and events. So just a pretty picture of the 100, pardon, timer interrupt, 100 hertz, and the another timer used as our offset time. Zen handles timer soft IRQs based on timer ticks and updates the shared time structures within each domain as required. When we get around to implementing the shared page to allow guests to read the offset time source, then they can calculate their offset time as required. Zen memory management. So let's see, Zen allocates pages and manages the PTEs. Domains use MMU update hypercall to update their own read-only page tables. Page tables within domains are read-only. Zen reserves memory for its own use, text, data, DSS stack, slab allocator, its own page tables, its own heap, IRQs and exception vectors, and whatever's remaining after Zen allocates its resources is left for domain heap. The domain heap, Zen, on behalf of the domains, allocates kernel, text, data, DSS, initial RAM disk memory if one is required, memory that's utilized for physical-to-machine mapping tables, shared info structures that are used by the guest domains to share parameters back and forth between Zen, and there's a start info structure that is used to pass basically domain start of day parameters. Also included is the domain page tables. They're allocated by Zen on behalf of the domains, stack and domain heap. So for some diagrams that are coming up, there's some terminology. It gets kind of interesting in a virtualized world. It gets pretty interesting to understand what type of memory you're talking about. There's machine addresses. They're the actual hardware physical addresses that Zen sees. Virtual addresses are machine addresses plus page offset, same as you would have in a Linux kernel case, but in this case, Xen is what's seeing this real physical address plus page offset. That's Xen's virtual address space. Physical addresses are what domains see, and they usually start from zero, but their actual machine addresses can be any page. And metaphysical addresses are the same as physical addresses, just another word for it. Domain virtual addresses are domains physical address plus virtual start. MFN, machine physical, machine frame number, is the actual real physical address frame number. Page frame numbers are the pages that the guest OS sees through translation tables. End key are the machine to phys mapping tables, which are used to translate machine addresses to real physical addresses, and vice versa. P to M are used to go the opposite direction. Sorry. So here's the address space that Xen sees. On the left hand is the actual machine addresses, 0 through 64 megabytes in this particular demonstration. Xen starts at offset 0, slab allocator, Xen page table, Xen heap, and domain heap above that. The exception vectors are a special case. Thus far, what we've decided to do is to use the existing exception vectors in high vectors page for ARM. This is something that we'll revisit later. We may remap those to the null page for Xen and allow domains to use the high vectors page. We haven't quite got there yet and decided how this is going to work. But for the early stages of our porting, it was easier for us to just use high vectors and allow Xen to control vectors. So domain 0, we carve out some memory, and based on probing the domain 0 ELF image and various other parameters that are passed in at boot time, we allocate and carve out some memory out of the domain heap and set that up for domain 0. Kernel starts at low address offset, 8,000 for Linux. RAM disk is loaded somewhere. Doesn't have to be where we're showing it physically, but can be anywhere. P to M tables are allocated, shared info, start info, page tables, which are read-only for the domain, the domain stack, and whatever's left is domain heap. An interesting feature in Xen, and probably most hypervisors, is this notion of a butterfly is trying to convey that although we're showing here just a physically contiguous chunk of memory being carved out of domain heap, and that's being used by domain 0 or some other domain, can be domain 0, it doesn't matter. In reality, pages can be coming from anywhere out of that domain heap. So what we really have is going through the M to P and P to M, come on, is pages can be coming from anywhere in this domain heap, and they'll show up as a contiguous domain 0 physical address space, but they're not actually necessarily physically contiguous in real physical address space. So Xen memory management sequences. Boot up, Xen hypervisor binary image, domain 0 ELF image, and optionally domain 0 RAM disk are copied into memory. The bootloader sets up A tags that are used to let the operating system know what's being passed into it in terms of how much memory, command line parameters, and if there's any RAM disks and so on. The bootloader then, according to ARM Linux kernel booting requirements, passes in some parameters and some registers. Most notably, R1 is a machine number that's used to encode the machine that is booting the operating system. So ARM has a registry, a machine registry, and these machine numbers are allocated to people that want to run Linux on a machine. So what we use here is the same boot parameters that are used for ARM Linux kernel. It's good infrastructure, and we reuse it here. And that allows us to leverage all of the multi-machine, multi-processor infrastructure in the ARM Linux kernel in Xen. So I'll ignore other parameters that may be passed in R0 and R2, and just say we jump to start Xen. Kind of just an aside, the A tags that we support thus far are A tag memory, command line, and init RD. No other A tags are really supported in Xen right now. Xen starts and parses the A tags. And just a note that command lines override any A tags that are specified are always overridden by command line. So if there are any command line parameters saying mem equals, they'll override any duplicate parameters specified via A tags. So it's a way you can boot a kernel that you have a bootloader that knows how much memory a machine may have, but you want to boot that machine and say you actually have less memory, or maybe more memory, because you want to test and see does it crash in some particular way or the right way. Xen allocates pages for its own image, data, so on and so on, and reserves the rest for domain heap. We proceed to domain zero creation. Xen parses domain zero elf image, looking for its start address, its virtual address, and entry point size. It then proceeds to allocate all of the memory required for this domain zero image and copies that into the allocated memory. It also allocates the various structures that are passed in and required for management of the domain. This is an interesting problem in ARM, where when we set up page tables, each process needs to have a copy of the page tables. So we have a similar problem in Xen when we're booting up multiple domains. In order to handle exceptions, when we change page tables for a given domain, that domain still needs to be able to translate addresses that are used by Xen for handling exceptions. So Xen's page tables are initially copied into the page tables used by the guest domain, and then we populate this the guest domain page tables with all of the memory regions that we've allocated for it. Then we build the domain P to M tables, as already mentioned before. Memory may not be contiguous, so the P to M, M to P tables are used to translate back and forth between real physical and metaphysical addresses. So DOM0 startup, domain zero heap mappings. When domain zero starts up, it requests heap mappings from Xen via MMU update hypercall. Xen parses the entries and checks, does permissions checks and range checks, and adds these entries if everything's okay. So I guess when domain zero executes, it can request page updates using this MMU update hypercall. At runtime, domain zero manages its own P to M tables and heap allocation. Page table updates are used to request mappings of regions. So current status on memory management. Basic memory management is implemented. MMU hypercall is working, but I think I mentioned no permissions or range checking is currently performed. And we currently only support 1 megabyte sections. We don't actually support level 2 4K byte page mappings. we initially made the mistake of using PowerPC code as the base for our importing efforts, and ran into inverted TLD problem, inverted page table problem, which renders it useless for ARM. So we have to redo that, and our plan is to use the x86 code as a basis on the next go-around for ARM MM support. Refine the hypervisor and the main zero page tables, implementing both L1 and L2 mappings. And make the domain zero page tables readable using L2 pages specifically. As mentioned, we currently only do this with L1 mappings. Hypercalls, interesting problem with hypercalls, how to do it. There are a number of ways to do it. We could use an undefined instruction. It seemed best at the time to just overload the supervisor call instruction. Supervisor call was formerly known as software interrupt. ARM has decided to change the nomenclature used for this instruction. In any case, the supervisor call instruction is used by Linux and any other operating system to make OS calls. And what we decided to do was to overload that. Normally, various OSs use a bit field within there's a 24-bit field within the SDIP, pardon. 24-bit, right? Sorry, I believe it's a 24-bit field in the supervisor call instruction. And most OSs use a bit field within there as an OS number. And what we decided to do was pick our own number, random number, that was thus far unused, and implement that as Zen supervisor, pardon, hypercall. We also decided to stick with the ARM EABI, and what that means is in the ARM EABI, the syscall number is encoded in ARM register 7, and we do the same thing in Zen for hypercalls. We encode the hypercall number in R7 and utilize R0 through R5 for arguments passed into the hypercall. The plan thus far is if the SWIOS Zen bit field doesn't match, then we simply forward the syscall onto the guest OS. So I'm probably not using up much time, but we kind of fell behind. So do a quick demo. This might fly by. I didn't really set this up for a slow interactive demo. Touching mouse pad. Let's just look up there. Hope it's not a reading check. Get off the screen. So as I said, QEMU is a wonderful tool for low-level development. And we've been using it pretty much exclusively for Zen ARM porting. And it was working out so well for us that we didn't really see the need to jump right onto hardware. We still have a ways to go, and built-in GDB server allows us to connect to our QEMU session and boot. So we use uBoot, and we're using a TFTP server in QEMU to fetch the images. And it's set up to automatically fetch the Zen hypervisor. And what we're doing thus far is, initially we didn't want to have to modify the bootloaders used on the targets, but it seems that we will have to entertain that. The problem is for current U-boot, in this case, it only has a notion of a kernel and a RAM disk for its built-in booting commands. So what we're considering at this point is adding another OS type to make image, which says Xen, okay? And we'll also add in the boot command, we'll also add an optional parameter. So it'll be a free parameter. If anyone's familiar with U-boot, on ARM, bootM can be passed two parameters. One is, the first parameter would be a kernel, and the second parameter would be a RAM disk. And we plan to overload that and add a third parameter. And if the first parameter we find has a Xen tag on it, Xen OS type tag, then we'll accept an optional second and third parameter for a domain zero kernel and RAM disk. But thus far, we've overloaded the RAM disk image, and we're calling mini OS, in this case, a RAM disk, which isn't proper, but it got around having to modify U-boot, which is really trivial, but getting into the dirt. So starting Xen, really exciting. So as I mentioned, we've heavily borrowed from the Linux ARM kernel, and as you can see, there's the standard banners for machine parsing and identification. And here's the reference that I was referring to, where we're kind of borrowing the top 64K of memory for ARM exception vectors, and we'll look into changing that later, but thus far it was easy enough to do this and not worry about it until later. A lot of memory setup, so on and so on. Parsing, in this case here, we're parsing the domain zero mini OS, looking at the ELF image, and then setting up memory regions that need to be set up to execute this mini OS. Setting up the start info structure that's passed into mini OS. And then there's mini OS. We have some minor problems with scheduling right now, where mini OS isn't rescheduling. I've been too busy and lame to fix it. Sorry. It's just an annoying minor problem. So this is pretty much the end of the demo for now. As I mentioned, took longer than expected, but this is as far as we got. So did it go back to page one? Sorry. How are we doing for time? Oh, I think I messed up the order of my slides. No, I didn't. Okay, sorry. Demo. So, next steps. Initially, we went with ARMv5 under QEMU because there was no support for ARMv6 in QEMU. There recently has been ARMv6 support added in QEMU, and we plan to transition over to that, bring up on real ARM 11 hardware, implement proper memory management support, implement guest traps and exceptions, obviously Linux domain zero porting, finally XSM integration, and hopefully we can merge and consolidate with other folks out there that are working on Xen ARM ports. And I've spoke to the Zen.org folks, and they're more than happy to set up a repository for us anytime we're ready to do that. So, references, thanks for your time. Any questions? Yep. Probably a year, at least. I don't see the point in merging it to Zen Unstable until we have demonstrated actual functioning guest domain. So it's probably a year away, and it will really depend on the resources that are working on it from now until then. Unfortunately, my time has been limited, and I'm getting pulled to do other work. As I mentioned, I'm happy that my employer allowed me to work on it thus far, but they're getting anxious that I'm, needing to work on other things that need doing so. Hopefully, with the way we've done it, and some other folks have tried to do this, Michael LeMay and some other folks he was working with had a goal of using QEMU to do Xenon porting. They apparently didn't get very far reading his paper, hopefully with the work that we've done and demonstrating how easy this is to do on QEMU, anyone can do this. You get a laptop, I've got a script, you can build everything you need, all the cross tools, QEMU, all of it. One script, run it, come back a few hours later, start working. So anyone can do this. Just takes time. So probably more than a year, give or take. Yes? Yes, fully. Well, it's there are trade-offs that requires more effort in the hypervisor and also more code in the hypervisor. So doing that would require emulation, more emulation in the hypervisor, emulating, ARM architecture, the instructions, as well as I/O emulation, a la QEMU. More code, larger trusted computing base, more holes to drive through. Thus far. This is a lot of effort, just what we've picked off so far. So we're just keeping it just purely paravirtualized thus far. Anyone can add whatever they want to it, though.